Father, we thank you. We praise you. You're a great God. We thank you for what you do. We thank you for who you are. Now bless us as we speak words of life, that we might be encouraged this day by your selections. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Cook, I realize that we didn't get you to say anything, and I want to apologize. I know you served in the Navy. A Navy man can't leave a Navy man out. Richard, you should have corrected me. I saw you back there, but just tell us where you served, what you did. So,
Pastor, I'm a United States Navy man, retired.
Amen.
1963. I'm old school Navy, so I'm blessed.
How many years did you serve?
I served 19 and 6. 18 of them, I shouldn't say 18, but 8 of them was in the Antarctic. So I'm out.
Let's give them a round of applause. Weatherman. Well, thank you. God bless you. God bless you. I'm going to overlook you. Oh, you want to say something? I'm sorry. I took the mic too quick.
Yeah. We are trying to relocate, and I think we have found a home. Hey. We're relocating from Barstow, and I think we have found a home here. Paul Brooks.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for finding our home, finding a home here. And I don't want to forget my son-in-law. I know you didn't come up, Danny. I didn't see you in the picture.
My name is Danny Soler. 7 years, United States Navy.
Oh, Dave.
Aviation machinist mate.
Okay, thank you. And my good friend Dave Goen. Tell us, Dave. See, I'm spotting people who didn't come up, see.
My name's David Goen. I served in the U.S. Navy as a deep sea diver. Scuba diver on the USS Samuel Gompers and USS Tacoma.
Oh, thank you, Dave. Thank you for your service. Thank you. Good to see you. Good to see you. Hi, Grace. Okay, did I miss anyone? Those are the ones that I spotted in the audience. All right. All right. Okay. And I'll shorten my sermon, so don't y'all get worried. Okay. Yeah, tell us who you are and where you serve.
I'm James Johnson. I serve in the U.S. Army, 3rd Armored Division, Company B. Was deployed to Germany in 1956 and served there. And that's the time when Russia was a real threat to the United States, and that's why we were deployed in Germany. U.S. 513-01682.
Great. Thanks, Dan. Thank you. You notice we can all tell you, I don't care, we can tell you where we serve. We can tell you the unit number and all of the things that go with it. We've been greatly influenced by our service. So thank you. Sermon for this afternoon, What We Owe to Others' Hands. Each of us lives in and through an immense movement of others' hands. The hands of other people lift us from the womb. The hands of other people grow the food we eat, weave the clothes we wear, and build the shelters we inhabit. The hands of other people aid and comfort in times of affliction and distress. And it is the hands of other people that lower us into the earth. It's a writing by James Stockinger. What We Owe to Others' Hands. Something happened about a week ago. It's almost shocking to tell you, but it helps make the point that I'm trying to make to you, what we owe to others' hands. I want to thank those who have served and are serving our great nation. But evidently, there was one soldier who didn't get the message. You see, he did something so dishonoring to those who wear the uniform that it can hardly be spoken, but I'll share it because the point needs to be made. He got the idea from YouTube, which was a bad idea. You see, in Iraq, where he was serving, use a copy of the Quran for target practice. The incident had the potential to destroy all the gains that have been made in the past year. You know, there had been a surge where they brought more troops in, hoping to stabilize the situation. The military had been forging alliances with the local leaders to hope to show another side of the military. And this young soldier took the Quran, which is very special, a holy book to Muslims, and shot it full of bullet holes and wrote graffiti in the cover. I can hardly talk about it. How stupid can you get? In fact, Colonel Bill Buckner, a military spokesman, described the incident as serious and deeply troubling. Army Major General Jeffrey Hammond, the commander of U.S. troops in Baghdad, met with tribal leaders to apologize before the angry crowd of protesters. So Colonel Ted Martin, commander of the 1st Brigade Combat Team, 4th Infantry Division, presented the leaders with a new Quran, which he kissed and touched to his forehead. And then the local sheikhs accepted the apology. Even President Bush had to apologize to the Iraqi Premier Maliki. And no one has heard the name of that troop, or I haven't seen him on TV. I think he's probably still peeling potatoes before the court martial. No, they don't peel potatoes anymore. But this lone soldier, most of our men and women serve honorably. But just one person can do something so stupid that it will bring reproach upon everyone else. And evidently, he did not know what he owed to others' hands. He must have forgotten, and thank you, Pam. I hope you see this. Pam puts this in the bulletin every week, the number of our soldiers that have, and soldiers, sailors, airmen, of our country that have lost their lives in the war in Iraq. And it's over 4,000. I think the bulletin says 4,076, I think we had in there this week, Pam, and over 30,000 wounded. That troop forgot for one instance what he owed to others' hands. And the countless Iraqis that have lost their lives and the many of the coalition forces that have lost their lives. He had forgotten that. Well, I want to tell you about a person that we as Christians should not forget. His name is Cornelius. What is his name, everybody? Cornelius. As Christians, we should not forget this individual. I know you know the story. If you would turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 10, and we'll take just a moment to look at the story and get some wisdom from the story of Cornelius. And I'm not going to read the scripture in the interest of time, but I will tell you a little about the story. An angel comes to a captain of the Italian regiment, Cornelius, a good soldier. In fact, a praying man, a God-fearing man, the Bible says. And it's interesting that God chooses this man. Now, it doesn't fit the profile at all that we have of God, who God should choose. You see, God wanted to take the message that the gospel was for everyone. See, up until this point, people had the misconception that the gospel was only for the Jews. But the gospel was for everyone. And so when God wanted to take that message, he called on a soldier. Now, I know that doesn't fit your profile, but that's exactly what God did. And he called on Cornelius, the captain, the officer of the Roman guard. And so God chose Cornelius because he was a praying man. He was a giving man. He was a community-minded man. God didn't pick a doctor of religion or a doctor of the law. He picked a soldier. And the story, and I think you know the end of the story, the message is that God has no respect of person. God, the gospel is for everyone. Everyone. And that's the message. But let me tell you a little about the story. God sent an angel to talk to Cornelius about meeting a man by the name of Peter. And so God sends the angels to talk to Cornelius. He says, I want you to go and find a man by the name of Peter. He's in a city. He's staying now with a tanner. And I want you to see Peter. He's in Joppa. Now, Joppa was a coastal city. It was a city that was on the coast. It was on the water. It was a place, for those of you who know the story of Dorcas was from Joppa. Joppa was a place where Carla, where they would the sailors would go out to sea, and families would stand on the shore and wave goodbye to their loved ones. Military people can relate to that. That was Joppa. I want you to go to Joppa and meet Peter. Bring him back to my house, and I want to hear something. That's the gist of the story. And so the angel tells Cornelius what he wants. Cornelius did something that is remarkable. Cornelius called his servants after the angel gave him the message and said, I want you to go and take the message. Bring Peter back. You know what the most difficult transition has been for me? The military versus civilian pastoring. In the military, when the colonel told me to do something or the captain told me to do something, I didn't want to show up at the next meeting without having had it done. Oh, you know, it's difficult in the civilian sector. You talk about getting something done. It takes years to get something done in the church. Oh, Lord, y'all didn't want to hear that, but it's the truth. It's been a hard transition for me. I mean, because you got to go through a whole lot of layers and people to get things done. It's just not a simple process. Amen? Y'all know it's the truth. And no use trying to sugarcoat that. That's the way it is. But Cornelius got his servants right away, get on the mission and go bring Peter back. They go to Joppa, and while they're on their way, God shows Peter a dream. Peter's praying. He shows Peter a dream of, you know the story, a big sheet with all kinds of animals on it. It was a time when Peter was hungry. Peter kind of misinterpreted and thought he was talking about food. Peter looked at that dream and said, God, I mean, there's some things on there that I don't eat. I'm Seventh-day Adventist. I've never eaten pork. Come on now, some of y'all have dipped into it, all right? You know it's the truth. All right, but he said, there's things that I've never eaten. Now, you know the story. Was God talking about food? No, God wasn't talking about food. God was talking about something greater than that. God's not going to bring a dream down to deal with food. God was talking about people. He wanted the gospel taken to everyone. And you know the end of the story. You can go to Acts 10 and verse 34. The story goes into Acts 11. You can read it. And the gist of it is what I told you. God is no respecter of person. Amen? The gospel is for everyone. Even soldiers, fishermen, Jews, everyone. Amen? And that's the gist of the story. So they come, the servants, they meet Peter. Peter brings some people with him, and they go back to Caesarea to Cornelius' house. When they get to Cornelius' house, guess what happened? This is a story about Cornelius and Peter. Because there are two things that happen in this story that I want you to get, and I don't want you to miss. You have to have these two things. And this is what we owe to other people. Do you know that there's other people who teach you? Parents teach you. teachers teach you, relatives teach you, friends teach you. Do you know you can even be taught by somebody who's younger than you? Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. That's right. And so when Peter comes to Cornelius' house, Cornelius started bowing down to Peter. Peter, hold it. I'm just a man just like you. Let me tell you about somebody else. And the Bible says he started talking about Jesus. And guess what happens when he starts talking about Jesus? The Bible says, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. This is not a sermon on the Holy Spirit, but it just happens to be that it's there. The Holy Spirit falls on the whole place. That's exactly right. Falls on them and also on Cornelius and everybody around. The Bible says they started interpreting languages. The Holy Spirit fell. Two things that happened that are noteworthy. Cornelius and Peter had spirits that could be taught. They had teachable spirits. You want a hint on how to stay in this church? Go to Sabbath school. Be taught. You have to be taught. Preaching doesn't keep people in the church. I'm telling you. And you can be a good preacher and not keep people. You have to be willing to be taught. You have to have a teachable spirit. Amen? Both of them had that. You wouldn't think that you would find the first Christian Gentile in a barracks in Caesarea. But that's what God did. Cornelius did not have all the advantages of the religious life of the Jews. But he was willing to be taught. I have a book, a leadership Bible, and it has this quote in it. It says, the moment you stop learning, you stop leading. Well, that's one of the things you can tell about people who serve. They're always learning. So you can't lead other people if you're not constantly learning. That's why God chose Cornelius. He was a person that you could teach something to. God taught him. And not only that, you have to have a spirit that's teachable, meaning you have to have humility. You see, it was not easy for those two to get together. Jews did not eat with Gentiles. They didn't marry Gentiles. They didn't go into Gentiles' home. And for Peter and Cornelius to hook up broke all the rules. Peter had to be willing to say, I don't care what they say at Fallbrook, I'm going in her house. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. I got in trouble. I don't care what they say. I'm going to give a Bible study to that person. No matter what. That's really what happened. They broke the rules. You have to be willing to be humble to do that. They both had that. They were teachable. And not only should you be teachable, but you know what we owe to others? Salvation. How many people have saved you from yourself? The ability to be saved. You know what I like about Cornelius? You know, he was a good man. He was a praying man. He was a a man that gave. But when he heard Peter talk about Jesus, he believed and he accepted. You know why? Because Cornelius had a need in which we all have, and that's the need to be saved. See, because I don't care how good you are. You know, where I live, I have some good neighbors. I'm talking about they're good people. They'll do anything for you. I mean, they're just nice. In fact, they put us to shame sometimes. But they need Jesus. I don't care how good you are, you need Jesus. Cornelius was able to see that. You're going to never be good enough. Not. You're never going to be good enough. You need Jesus and his righteousness. Oh, help me, Jesus. Don't we need it? Cornelius was able to look through all of that and realize that. And you know what I like about Cornelius? His military discipline helped his religious reverence. If you ever get a military person that gets real religious, you got something good. Because they don't play. They're serious about that thing. If they ever get it, they're serious. And they like it done right. That's the frustration of those who serve. I meet nice people every day, kind and moral, but that's not enough. They need Jesus. You know why I get to say it one more? It's because every one of us needs forgiveness for our sins. It puts us all in the same boat. I got the end. I want you to listen to this. This is Time Magazine has the fifth annual. They come out with the 100 most influential people in the world. This past week they called it Leaders and Revolutionaries. They listed 100 of the most influential people in the world. Now, I expected, and rightfully so, President George W. Bush is on the list, and he should be. The three candidates that are running for office were on the list, and they should be. Obama, Clinton, McCain. They're on the list. They should be. Whether you like her or not, Oprah Winfrey made the list, and she should be. Okay? Even though she might do some New Age stuff, she made the list. Okay? That's just a... Okay. But I was surprised. Now, we're talking about the 100 most influential people in the world. I was surprised. You might have to help me afterward. Why was Robert Downey Jr. on there? Did I miss something? Why was Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie on there? Did I miss something? Am I missing something? I'm talking about the most 100 most influential people in the world. Why was Chris Rock on there? Now, I'm not knocking them as persons, but I'm surprised that they're on the list. And this one was most surprising, and you really have to have Mia Farrow. Is she still around? She made the list of 100 folks. I'm making a point. See, this is the world view. This is not a biblical view. This is a world view. And it's messed up. Amen. They put three religious leaders on that 100 list. Let me read the three religious leaders. The first one, I'm not surprised. The Dalai Lama of Tibet. He's on the first page if you saw that Time magazine. Yeah, with all that's going on in China, I expected him to make the list. But this next one, the Eastern Orthodox Patriarch Bartholomew the First. Do you even know who that is? And then the third one that made the list. This is the only clergy on the list. Was Murtada al-Sadr, a Shiite cleric from Iraq. You know what was blatantly absent? Not a Christian clergy in the bunch. Y'all missed that. They could at least put Billy Graham on there. They could have put my friend Barry Black on it. He's a Senate chaplain. Not a Christian clergy of the list. Not the Pope didn't even make the list. I mean, that's, folk, that's, you may not think so, but that speaks volumes about where we are in the scope of time and what's happening and where minds are trying to be changed. And this, when they wrote this down, I could have fallen over. It says, the tension release he offers is available nowhere else, from nowhere else, from no one else. Let me read it again. The tension release he offers is available nowhere else, from no one else. They were talking about Chris Rock. Folk, we are in the last days. And I've probably been saying this 30 years ago by now, but I believe we are. I think the worldview and the things that are coming across show all evidence of it. Now, this had nothing to do with Cornelius. I said it in the first service. I know they're going to record it here, and I hope somebody important goes and downloads this tape so they can hear what I'm getting ready to say. I know I'm going to get in trouble, but in this next year, I'll probably get in trouble a lot before I retire. I've just planned to get in trouble. Are you aware of what's going on right now? There are people who are talking verbally that gas could go to $15 a gallon. Now, I don't know if it's going to go that high, but they're talking it. If they're talking it, they might want it to go to 10. That's how they do things. They put it out there in space. They put it out there in your mind so they can get it. And you know what's surprising? Nobody seems alarmed. Y'all missed that. There's no politician that's really jumping up and screaming bloody murder. None of them. You know what can happen if gas goes to $10 a gallon? I believe that the world is sticking it to us, Americans. Because they want to wipe out the middle class. Because they don't have middle class in other cultures and nations, and they don't want one here. And if gas goes to $10 to $15 a gallon, they'll reach an objective. There'll be no middle class. Because if it costs me $150 to $175 a tank, then I'm probably going to get a bike. Because between my wife and I, we must use 3 or 4 tanks a week. Well, we're going to be retired. We're not going to be in that mess. We'll be just be at home. But do you see what I'm talking about? And nobody is saying a thing. We're asleep at the switch, which means they could change. When they wipe out everything and everybody, and only the rich can fly. And they've turned this world upside down. And then the people start screaming. They're going to say, let's get back to God. Let's get back to God on His day. And I'm not talking about Saturday. Oh, y'all know. Y'all think, boy, where did he get this from? Folk, we better wake up. It's happening right before us. And we're literally paying no attention. Oh, somebody big shout. I hope you download this. We need Jesus. That's how we're going to get through it. See, we used to talk about getting out of the city. You're not even going to have gas to get out of the city if they keep this up. It never comes the way you think it's going to come. The devil doesn't work that way. And the only safeguard we have is Jesus. Nothing else. Cornelius found that out plain and simple. He didn't need no heavy stuff. He didn't go and mess with the 490-year prophecy. He just accepted Jesus and his righteousness. May God help us. What we owe to others' hands, we owe to Jesus' hands. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you for men and women like Cornelius. They're good people who hear the word of God and accept it just like that. They follow orders. They respond to the mission. Carry out the mission. Get it done. In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that here today are men and women just like that. But I would not want to end this service without asking for someone here today to serve. That would be a shame to end this service without asking someone here today to serve. I'm talking about serve Jesus. If there's someone here today, a man, woman, boy, or girl, who has not given their heart to Jesus, I want you to do it today. Before it is too late, I want you to do it today. Is there one today that has not given their heart to Jesus, would like to say yes to him today? I want to see your hand. Just lift your hands and let the angel record it. If you've already done that, you don't have to raise your hand again. Maybe all have done it here. You don't have to. But if you've not done that, I want to give you an opportunity. I see your hand. Thank you. God bless you. God records that hand. See your hand. Anyone else? I'd like to say yes to Jesus. Thank you. I see your hand. And God bless you. You can put your hand down. The angel records that. Is anyone else? What we need, just like Cornelius, we need Jesus. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We thank you for the courage of those that lifted their hands. They will not be disappointed with you, serving you. Lord, bless them. Bless this congregation. Bless this nation. Help us to wake up, Lord. Jesus is soon to come. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. I appreciate your patience. I went a little over time. I just couldn't stop.